Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Samech, the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Baba Basra, and we are holding on the very top of daf Samech Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is going to discuss what type of construction you can do on your house when your house is in a chotzer ashutfin. Do we assume that you can make whatever expansion you want, even though it may be opening up new doors and new ways of entry into the chotzer ashutfin? Then the Mishnah is going to discuss when you can and cannot open doors and windows, new doors and windows into a joint chatzer, and the Gemara is going to discuss that the problem of opening a new Pesach is even if it doesn't cause you to gain more space in the chatzer at the expense of the other person in the chatzer, even if that's not the issue, you're still not allowed to open up new Pesachim into the chatzer. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of the page is going to talk about making digging underground in Rosh Hasharabim, or having beams and the like protrude out into the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Gemara is going to tell us two different stories of people who were called upon to judge cases involving someone who was in some sort of zoning violation of having things sticking out into Rosh Hashanah, but the judge himself seems to have been in violation of the same exact zoning violation, and how each of the judges handled it in each of those cases. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about once you've moved your fence in from the property line that borders the Rosh Hasharabim, and you left it that way, so you've allowed some of your property to just become, to meld in together with the Rosh Hasharabim, what are you then allowed to do at a later date? Are you allowed to reclaim that property, and in what ways may you reclaim that property? And then the majority of Amud Beis is going to be about the notion of making a Zecher L'Churban, that it's certainly true that nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have to do things that remind us of the Churban Habayis, and we're going to identify those things that are appropriate and required to do to remind us of the Churban Habayis, and those things that are inappropriate, that would make life unlivable. We're going to discuss the concept of making a Gezeira on the Tzibur She'ein Rova Tzibur Yichol Lamaba, that we try to avoid such things, and we're going to discuss the concept of Mutav Shu Shogin Va'al Yu Mezidin, that sometimes we don't inform people of everything that they should be doing because we know that they're not going to listen, and therefore we don't make such hardships on the people that are not going to listen to what we suggest anyway. So that's going to be the end of the third paragraph. So let's begin at the top of Daf Samech Amud Aleph at the two dots in the second line. Lakach bayis b'chatzar acheres lo yiftachenu l'chatzar ashutfin. If let's say you already own a house in a chatzar ashutfin, and then you purchase another house in a neighboring chatzer that currently does not open up into the chatzer ashutfin, you're not allowed to open up that house into a chatzer ashutfin. You're not allowed to open a new door from your new house into the jointly owned chatzer. So my taima, why not? Because that's going to cause a riboy haderech. What does that mean, a riboy haderech? Four shitos in Rishonim. The Rashbam explains that if you have new people living in the house, so people are going to go in and out more into the chatzer, and it's not going to be the same tznius that they used to have, because there are going to be more people around all of the time. That's the pashut pshat. And if there are two doorways into two chatzeros, so people are going to come more often into this chatzer. A second possibility is quoted in the Itur, that by having a Pesach and a Chalon, it causes more tashmish of the Chatzer, more usage of the Chatzer, that a person is now going to bring his Kalim into the Chatzer through those new doorways as well. So it may not be more people, but you're going to use the Chatzer more frequently now, and you're going to use it for more things, because you have extra ways of getting things in and out of your house. A third possibility that the Itur quotes, that since you're now going to be able to dump Zevel into the Chatzer, the Bnei Chatzer are going to have more to walk around. The Mar Balei Masaderech means they're going to have to take more steps, because they're going to have to walk around whatever it is that you dump out into the Chatzer. The Ravid is quoted by the Shittim Kubetzis, and the Meiri both explain that the Bnei Chatzer are going to the people who live in the other chatzer are going to use this as a shortcut into their house, and that's going to cause a hezek ri'iyah on the people who live in this chatzer. So says the Gemara, Eima Seifa. But then the Seifa goes on to say, Eli Imratza Bonas Acheder Lifnim Mi Beso Ubona Aliyah Al Gabe Beso Ay Velo Mabra Lavas Aderech. But the Seifa goes on to say, if you want to do construction on your house, you can build a room inside of your house. You can build an extra story on top of your house. Isn't that also going to be Marba Derech? You're building a new apartment on top of your house. Amravuna my cheder shachalkul l'shnayim umay aliyah avtai. You're not actually adding to the structure at all. You're taking a room and you're cutting it into two. That's the kind of construction that we're allowing. And what does it mean when we say you build an aliyah? It means avtai. What does that mean? So Rashbam explains, and Rova the Rishonim explain, you're not adding anything on top of your house. You're just dividing the height of the house by, if you had a 15-foot ceiling, so now you're going to have 2 7.5-foot ceilings. So you're not actually adding anything to the structure of your house. The Ritva, however, quotes from his Rebbe, and Rabbeinu Yonah writes that after is an aliyah that's not roi ledira, that you're building an attic, but it's just a storage space. It's for Eitzim, it's for Kelim, and therefore there's no chashash of Marba Aderech. It could be that they would hold that if you were actually building, constructing in such a way that there's now a usable apartment on the top floor, even though you didn't add to the structure of the house, that taka would be a problem of Marba Aderech, because you're causing more people to be in the area right now. Says the Mishnah now. New Mishnah. Lo yiftach adam l'chatzar ha-shutfin Pesach k'neged Pesach v'chalon k'neged chalon. If you have a house in l'chatzar ha-shutfin, you cannot open up a doorway directly opposite your neighbor's doorway, or a window directly opposite his window. All the Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. We just learned in Daf Nun Tes on Beis that lo yiftach adam chalonosav l'chatzar ha-shutfin at all, that you're never allowed to open up windows into a chatzar ha-shutfin. You're never allowed to open up doors into a chatzar ha-shutfin. So what are these rules that we're saying? Oh, don't do it if it's directly across from your neighbor. You're not allowed to do it even if it's not directly across from your neighbor. So the Rashbam in Dibra Maskelo Yiftach explains that over here we're talking about where you have a chazaka to be allowed to open up a window. For example, you already had a Pesach v'chalon in your chatzer, and now you just want to change the location of the Pesach or the chalon. You want to make some minor adjustment. Or you had a chalon and you closed it up in a way that you didn't lose the chazaka of having that chalon, and then the neighbor opened up a chalon directly across from it, so now you can't reopen your chalon asasum, your closed chalon, because now it's directly across from his chalon. The Tosrit explains a little differently. He says that since they agree, that we might be talking about a case where the neighbors agree that they're going to have the rights to open up as many windows as they want, but even so, there are limitations on what they're allowed to do, that they're not allowed to open up one directly across from the other. There's also machlokes Rishonim. What does that mean? Not directly across from the other. What if it's not directly across, but you can still see in by an angle? Is that good enough? So the Rashbam writes that as long as it's archakas mashahu, that's good enough. And the Rishonim explain that the guy can't stop you from opening a window where if you angle it just right, that you're going to be able to see through, because anyway you're able to see into his house. If you just walk into the chatzer, it's a chatzer ha-shutfin. The point is that there shouldn't be a sense of kvius, that you're constantly peering in, that you're constantly looking in to the other guy's house. That's how the Rashbam explains. The Rashba writes that had it not been for the Rashbam, he would have thought that you have to be marchik legamri. And that's how the Ritva passes halacha as well. They have to be marchik that you don't see at all, because that's, after all, the entire point. The reason you're not allowed to have the Pesach k'neged Pesach, the chalon k'neged chalon, is so that you don't see him. So if you make a chalon, you know, a few inches off to one direction or the other, and you can still see right through, so says the Rashba and the Ritva, that is not good enough. There is also machlokes Rishonim when a person has a chazaka to be posech Pesach k'neged Pesach, chalon k'neged chalon. Are you able to keep such a thing? Are you able to sustain such a situation where we've been talking about how chazaka helps to allow you to open up a Pesach in general into a chatzar? shutfin, a chalon in general into a chatzar shutfin. But does having chazaka help to even get over this halacha, that you're even allowed to open up directly across from him and violate the sense of tznius that you're able to see into his property? So the Rashbam writes that even if you have a chazaka, it's not allowed. Beis Yosef explains that the Rashbam holds that there's no chazaka for hezek re'iyah. So chalon connected chalon is asur to do even if you have a chazaka. That's what the Beis Yosef writes in Chosh Mishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Dalin. The Ramah explains, the Yad Ramah, that since the reason for the Isser is because of tznius of the Nashim, so chazaka doesn't help. And you're not able to be to open up a door across from another door, or a window across from another window, even if you have a chazaka. And he says, Dafka Pesach Keneged Pesach. But then he says, Aval Chalon Keneged Chalon, where it's not so much Nezek, and people can know how to close the window shades, and it's not going to cause such nezek, so maybe chazaka does help for that. So the Yad Ramah ultimately says we have to be mechalik between a Pesach and a Chalon. So whereas the Rashbam, and Beis Yosef explained the Rashbam, say Pesach, Chalon, all of it, you're not allowed to do directly across even if you have a chazaka, the Yad Ramah says chazaka will help for a Chalon, but not for a Pesach. And that's how the Tor Paskins, the Ramah quotes both Shitos, whether chazaka works for a chalon, connected chalon or not. Those are the basic shitos in the Rishonim. Says the Mishnah further, Hayakatan, if you had a smaller window or a smaller doorway, lo yasenu gadol, you're not allowed to make it into a larger doorway. Echad, you had one doorway, lo yasenu shnayim, you're not allowed to make two doorways into the chater. Avol poseach ulu rishus harabim pesach connected pesach chalon connected chalon. Let's say you have a neighbor across the rishus harabim from you, not across the chater. So that you're allowed to open up a window that's directly across from his window, a chalon directly across, a doorway directly across from his doorway. Hayakatan also so gadol, vechad also so shnayim. And if you had a smaller one, you're allowed to make a larger doorway. If you had one doorway, you're allowed to make two doorways. That you're allowed to do if there's a rishus harabim in between your property and your neighbor's property. Says the Gemara, minani mili. How do I know that you're not supposed to have doorways that directly oppose each other? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Damakra, Pasuk says, Vayisa bilam aseina, Vayaris es Yisrael, Shochein l'shvatav. Ma ra'a, what exactly did Bilam see that he saw that he's not going to be able to curse the Jewish people? Ra'a she'ein pischei ahaleihem m'chuvanim zelazem. Ma tovu alecha Yaakov. He saw how wonderful it is that we live with such tznius that our doorways don't open up into each other's doorways, that we don't see everything that's going on in our neighbors' houses. That's a terrible violation of tznius. And certainly in today's day and age, where everyone opens up their entire lives on the internet, a person has to be very careful not to open up one's entire life for everyone to see inside a person's entire life. So Amar Ru'in Alalu Shetush Aleim Shechina. It's on that that Bilam said that these people deserve to have the Shechina, because the pasuk continues V'tiyah Lav Ruach Elokim. That's the end of the pasuk. Tosfos points out. So he said that it's right that they're going to have the Shechina. The Maral explains that Ru'in Alalu Shetush Aleim Shechina, because there is a direct link between tznius and hashra'as hashchina. That mida in particular is what causes hashra'as hashchina. That's why there were minhagim going back many, many generations, that women dress as many generations as women come to shul, that women dress with the extra sense of tznius when they come to shul. Even people who weren't so makbid on tznius in general, didn't cover their hair, wear stockings, whatever else, weren't so makbid on every detail, when they came to shul, it was different. That was always the minhag. Why dafka when they come to shul? Because that's a minhag Yisrael Torah. Because the level of tznius has to be greater in a place where one hopes to achieve hashra'as hashchina. So that's there's a direct link between those two things. That's what the Maral explains. Rav Shechter elaborates on this in an essay in his Sefer Be'ikve Hatzon. Says the Gemara further, Hayakatan lo yasenu gadol. If you had a small doorway, you're not allowed to turn it into a large doorway. Savarim bar Chama lemeimar bar dalid lo l'shavya bar tamanya dekashakol tamanya b'chatzer. Yeah, I thought that we thought originally that means that if you have a 4 amo wide doorway, you're not allowed to make it into an 8-amma wide doorway, because you're entitled to the four amos of depth and at whatever the width of your doorway is in the chatzer. That's how much space you get to keep for yourself. So if you previously had a 4-amma wide doorway, you had an area 4x4 amos in the chatzer. You're now going to make it an 8-amma wide doorway, and you're going to double your space in the chatzer at your neighbor's expense. So I thought we thought originally that's what you're not allowed to do. Aval bar tarti l'shavya bar arba'a shapir dami. But since there's a minimum amount of 4 amos by 4 amos for every doorway, even if it's a very tiny doorway, so I would think that if you had a 2-amma doorway, you're allowed to expand it to 4 amos, because you're not going to get any extra space in the chatzer. You're already entitled to 4x4 amos when you have only a 2-amma doorway. So Amar le Rava, Rava said, Matzi Amar le b'pischa zutra matzina l'stanui minach b'pischa Rava lo matzina l'stanui minach. No, even though you're not going to get any more space in the chatzer, it's going to be a hezek re'ia problem. The neighbor could still say, when you had this narrow doorway, it was easier for me to stay out of the way, out of your eye line. I wasn't able to be seen by you all the time. Now that you can make a wider doorway, it's going to be much more difficult for me to stay out of sight, and it's going to compromise my tznius. Echad lo yasenu shnayim. Similar, we're going to have a similar discussion right now. We said in the Mishnah that if you had one doorway, you're not allowed to make 2 doorways. And remember, you get 4x4 amos for each doorway that you have in the chatzer. So sabram bercham lememar bar arba'i lo l'shavya trei b'nei tarti. That this means that if you had a 4-amma wide doorway where you were entitled to 4x4 ammos in the chatzer, you're not allowed to adjust that into 2 doorways that are each 2 ammos, because every doorway gets a minimum of 4x4 ammos. So if you make 2 doorways, you're going to be entitled to 2 sets of 4x4 ammos, and that's going to be more space in the chatzer. But we thought, aval bar tamni, but if you have an 8-amma wide doorway, l'shavya b'nei arba'i, and to turn it into 2 doorways that are each 4 amos should be fine, because you have an 8-amma wide doorway, you already have 8 amos by 4 amos in the chatzer. So you make it 2 4-amma doorways, you're still going to have the same amount of space. It's not going to cost the neighbor anything. So Amalei Rav, Rav said, no, Matzi Amalei B'chad Pischa Matzina Tzanui Minach B'trei Lo Matzina Tzanui Minach. The neighbor can say, look, I can stay away from you, I can hide from you. When there's 1 Pesach, when there are 2, it's going to be too difficult to stay out of your sight. As Rashbam explains, Kishu Na'ul Yecholni L'shtamish B'chatzer Inami L'shtamish Lo Kenegdo Aval B'shnei B'sachem Lo Matzina L'shtanui Kol Kach Afilu Mecha No'ul Asheni Yefasuach. Much more difficult for me to keep track of when a door is open if there are 2 of them. If there's 1 doorway, I could easily see. When the door is open, I'll be more careful. And if the door is closed, I could let loose a little bit. But if there are 2 doorways, more difficult to keep track. Aval Poseach L'Rishus Rab Pesach Keneged Pesach. You're allowed to open up a Pesach Keneged Pesach if there's a Rosh Hashanah between you. Why? Damalei Sof Sof Abbas Tzniyim Mibnei Rosh Hashanah. You don't have any tzniyos anyway. You're going to have to be careful about the Mibnei Rosh Hashanah looking in anyhow. When it's a Chatzar Ashutfin, so you know who the neighbors are, who you have to be concerned about. But when it's a Rosh Hashanah, anybody at any time will be passing by. And therefore, you're anyway going to have to constantly be on guard. Says the Mishnah, Ein osin cholol tachas rishos harabim. One is not allowed to dig a hollow space under a rishos harabim. And the Rashbam points out, V'afal gavde mekabal alei kol ezeko da'osi machmasei. Shein ritzom shal b'nei adam lizok v'lever the din aliske mamono. Very critical Rashbam in terms of the iser nezikin. We once discussed, what is the iser to be, is there an iser to be mazik somebody? You go over to somebody's car, as Daniel Feldman put it, with a sledgehammer in one hand and a checkbook in the other hand. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm going to pay for it immediately. I'll do the damage and I'll pay for it immediately. So yes, there is something wrong with that, it seems. The question is, what exactly is the issur? But Rashbam is highlighting that there's something wrong with that. Here, I'm going to dig something under the Rosh Hashanah. I know it may cause damage. I'm willing to pay for any damage that's going to be caused by me digging tunnels underneath the Rosh Hashanah. Anybody falls in and gets hurt, I'm willing to pay for it. Still, says Rashbam, no good. You're not allowed to do that. People don't want to get hurt and then get paid. They would much prefer not to get hurt in the first place. So you're not allowed to go and do such things. Enos and Chalotach Shusram, Boros, Tichon, and Ma'oros. You're not allowed to dig underneath the area of Rosh Hashram, any, to hollow out any of the ground under Rosh Hashram. Rabbi Lazar Matir, Kedei She'agala Ma'aleches, Utu'una Avanim. Rabbi Lazar says, well, if it's so stable, if the ground above the cave that you dug is so stable that if you had a large wagon full of stones that it would be able to pass over that ground and not cave in, then that's structurally sound enough. The Bnei Rosh Hashram can't ask for more than that, and that's going to be mutter. Ein motzi in zizim gzuzstrals Rosh Hashram elim ratza konis l'tok shalo umotzi. You're not allowed to build out things that protrude into the Rosh Hashanah, ledges and beams that stick out into the Rosh Hashanah. If you want to have something that sticks out past your fence, you're going to have to bring your fence in on your property line, and then you can have the ledges stick out to where the property line was. But if you bought a chatzar and already has things sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah, so then you could assume that it has a chazaka that a person was allowed to do that. The Rif and the Rambam write that it's mutter to be motzi zizim gzuzstros if you make it really high up above the height of gamal v'rochlo, because that's the height that you don't have to worry about any nezek anymore. And the Rambam says the heter of years only when you're not ma'afil al yidei zizim, that you're not causing any darkness to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah. It's not blocking any sunlight. The Rashba in the Tshuva points out that from the Mishnah it sounds like it doesn't matter how high it is, you're not allowed to have things sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah. Where does the idea of gamal v'rochvo come from? So we had a discussion about lighting a ner bordering on the Rosh Hashanah. So it's got to be l'malam e'gamal v'rochvo, so that anything that's on the camel's back won't get burnt by the ner. That's the height that we assume is going to be beyond anything that passes by in a Rosh Hashanah. So that's Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Gemara, you know, we had this Machlokas in the Mishnah, whether if it's really structurally sound, can you have a tunnel under the Rosh Hashanah? So for Rabbanan, what would the problem be? Why would the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to do it if a wagon laden with heavy rocks is able to pass by on top? Doesn't that tell you that it's structurally sound? It tells you that today it's structurally sound. And what happens when it becomes compromised later on? What, you're going to send in an engineer every single day to check it? No, these things tend to get forgotten about, and ultimately it's going to break down. Rabbi Ami actually happened to have a ziz, a ledge, that protruded out into a mavoi. And there was a guy also that had a ziz, that had a ledge that protruded out into a Rosh Hasharabim. So the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim wanted to stop this guy who had the ziz sticking into the Rosh Hasharabim. So he came to Rabbi Ami, Amalei Zil Kotz. And Rabbi Ami said, it's a zoning violation, you need to cut down that ziz, it's sticking into Rosh Hasharabim, it's not right. So Amalei Vamar Nami Islev. He said, wait, you have the same thing. You also have a ledge that sticks out into the Mavoi, which is a pretty public area. Amalei Didila Mavua Mafik, Bnei Mavua Machlin Gabai, Didach Rosh Hasharabim Mafik, Man Machl Gabach. He said, there's a big difference. A Mavoi, you know exactly who you're contending with. It's everyone who lives in that Mavoi. So all the Bnei Mavoi have been Mochel, my right to have that ziz. But when you deal with Rosh Hasharabim, the whole world is the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim. Who are you going to go and ask for mechila to be allowed to have that ziz? There's no one that you can go to that can possibly be mochel. Rabbi Yanai Avle Ilan Hanotel Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yanai had a tree that reached over into Rosh Hashanah. Havahu Gavra Davle Nami Ilan Hanotel Rosh Hashanah. There was another guy also that had a tree that reached over into Rosh Hashanah. So the Bnei Rosh Hashanah tried to stop him, this guy, from keeping his tree out there. They wanted him to trim the tree. They came to Rabbi Yana. He said, I need to think about it for a little bit. Come back tomorrow. We'll discuss it tomorrow. That night he hired tree trimmers to cut his own tree that was sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah. Next day they came back to the Beis Din, or to Rabbi Ami, Zil Kotz, and he paskined, you got to cut down the tree. Amalei Hamar Nami, but you also have a tree. Hamar Nami Islay, you also have a tree. Amalei, so he said back to him, Zil Chazi, Ikotz Didi, Ikotz Didach. Why don't you go check it out? If I cut down my tree, you'll cut down yours. Ilo Kotz Didi, Lo Tikotz At. And if I didn't cut down my tree, you don't have to cut down yours. Meikar my suffer, L'Bsof my suffer. What was he thinking initially by allowing his tree to remain there? And what did he change? What made him change his mind when the case came in front of him that made him cut down the tree? He first thought he was doing a favor for the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim, that he's providing them with shade, that they're now able to enjoy the shade of his tree. But once he saw that the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim were upset about it and they were trying to stop it, so then he realized that that it's not a good thing, that he's not doing anybody any favors. The Meiri writes that this din is said by a Talmud Chacham that only if he thinks that it's good for the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim, that his branches are going to provide shade, he's allowed to leave it there until he sees that people have a problem with it. But when he never thought that in the first place, then it's usher to allow it to go out into Rosh Hasharabim because it's shlo yikash l'barabim. I mean, it's not dafka, didn't in Talmud Chacham, but he says Talmud Chacham in the sense that a thinking person, that a person has to be thoughtful, that if he actually genuinely thought it's good for the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim, so that's when he's allowed to maintain such a thing. But once but if it's a person who's dumb, just doesn't think about it, that's not okay. Avlim ratza konis l'tok shalo umotzi. So we said, now the Gemara asks, why didn't he just paskin right on the spot? And instead of telling him, come back tomorrow and I'll take care of, you know, and having an opportunity to cut down his own tree, why didn't he just paskin on the spot and say, you cut down your tree and then I'll go cut down my tree? Mishum Dresh Lakish, Damar, Hiskoshu Bekoshu, Kshot Atzbcha, Varcha, Kshot Acherim. That you have to first take care of your own problems and then you can go and give other people Musar about their problems. So that's why he didn't tell him right away to cut it down. So some of the Achronim are Mochiach from the Nemuke Yosef, that the Nemuke Yosef explains that the Gemara's question was, why didn't he tell him right away to cut it down? The Gemara's question was, because after all, Benatayim, this person is being Mazik the Rabbim, meaning by delay, if you tell him right away to cut it down, the guy comes to him on Monday, and he says, cut it down right now and I'll cut mine down. So then by Monday afternoon, all the trees are gone and the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim are protected. But by delaying and saying, oh, come back tomorrow, and then he takes care of his on Monday night, and the other guy's not going to take care of his until Tuesday, so isn't that causing more nezek to the Rosh Hashanah? That's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara's answer is, no, but kshot atzmecha, still the concern that you have to take care of your own problems before you give people musar for their problems, overrides that concern that you're being mazik, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, for that extra day. So some of the Achronim are Melchiach from the Nemuke Yosef, that this idea of kshot atzmecha is enough to be ma'akev hasaras ha-nezek from Bnei Rosh Hashanah for a day. And you see clearly that he allows it to go on for an extra day. Because of the chiv, the kashet atzmo, he's not allowed to judge anybody else until the next day. But the Rambam doesn't say that. He just doesn't mention this, that because of this din, dying is pasul ladun. So it sounds like it's not really an ikuv, it's just something that's appropriate. The Rambam doesn't mention this as being one of the things that pasuls a dayan from judging a case. Okay, says the Gemara further now, the two dots. Avlum ratza kornis tok shalo umotzi. If a person wants to have zizinu gzustraos, ledges that protrude out beyond his property line, He has to move his fences in on his property line, and then he can have these ledges that stick out. Ibayilu. What if he brought his fences in and he didn't do anything right away? He didn't have build ledges out. And then sometime later, he wakes up a year later and says, you know what? I want to build ledges out into the Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kanas Motzi. Reish Lakish Amar Kanas Eino Motzi. Machlokes. It might be too late. It might be after he allowed the B'nai Rosh Hashanah to sort of take over that area that it's too late to build out now. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yirmi Batachlifa Azbra. No, everyone agrees that he's allowed to build out these Zizin V'Gzuz trials later on. The machlokas is, can he move his fences back to where they were originally, back to the property line? And the machlokas is the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says he may not move his fences back, and Reish Lakish says he may. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan says he cannot move his fences back because once there's a chazaka for the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to take it away from them. And Reish Lakish would say that's only when there's not enough space for them. But over here, when he puts the fences back to the original spot, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah are still going to have ample space, the proper amount of space that they originally had, so it's not going to be costing the Bnei Rosh Hashanah too much. Then the Mishnah said that if you buy a chatzar and it already has things protruding out into the Rosh Hashanah, that's fine, you're allowed to leave it that way. Not only that, are you allowed to leave it that way, if it falls down, you can rebuild it that way. You're not allowed to make your house completely nice with sid or to plaster it because now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we have to leave a zecher l'churban. But if you bought a chatzah that is already built this way, it has all sorts of beautiful imagery and art and whatever, so you're allowed to leave it that way because it's b'chaskasa. Nafla eino chozer bonosa. But if it falls, you're not allowed to rebuild it. So question mark, why should it be any different than our case of having the ledges that protrude out into the sun where we said if it falls, you're even allowed to rebuild it? Why by the ledges are you allowed to rebuild it, and when it comes to the Zecher L'Churban, you're not allowed to rebuild it with all of its beauty. It says Mar Isura Shaini. There's a difference between Cheskas Tashmishin, which is a Dina Mamanus issue, and Isur, that there's an Isur Veheter of making a Zecher L'Churban. Tan Rabbanan, or making your house in a way where you're not making it with the full beauty. Tan Rabbanan, Lo Yisar Adam is Beis HaBesid, V'Emir Bochol Oteven Mutter. Person is not allowed to plaster his house with sid, but if he mixes some sand or some straw into the plaster, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Irv Bochol Areza Traksid Va'aser. No, if he does that, it's going to be if he mixes sand into it, it's only going to make it stronger, and it will make the walls not as white, a little bit darker, but it will make it stronger, so one might want to do that, and that's aser. But Tevin Mutter, if you put straw in it, it's not going to strengthen the construction, and it will ruin the look a little bit, so that's what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do that as Zecher L'Churban. So once we mention this halacha by way of asking the question about rebuilding that which fell down, so now we're going to talk about Zecher L'Churban in general. Tan Rabban, Shchar V'Avayis B'Shniya, Rabbu Prushim B'Yisrael, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jewish people were not exactly sure how to react, but they knew that it demanded a reaction. Sometimes something major happens, you can't just let it go and ho-hum, go on with life as usual. So they knew that they had to do something major. So there were Prushin B'Yisrael who decided Shalolach al-Basar v'Shalolach al-Yayin, very major, that they were never going to eat meat or drink wine ever again. Nitbal and Rabbi Yeshua thought that this was an overreaction, that this was not a reasonable thing that people are going to be able to deal with. So Amarlan, he said to them, why are you refraining from meat and wine? Amarlo, no chal basar shemenem akrivin al gabi mizbeach va'achshav batel. We're going to eat meat which reminds us of all the karbanos we used to bring on the mizbeach, and now we can't bring those karbanos. Nishti yayin shemenaskan al gabi mizbeach va'achshav batel. We should drink wine that we used to be able to do nisuch hayayin on the mizbeach, and now we can't do it? So he said, so then you probably shouldn't eat bread, because carbon mincha is bread. So they said, you're right, great idea, we're not going to eat bread either. Efshar beperos, we could subsist on peros. So peros lanoch l'shekvar batlu bikurim, yeah, but peros isn't going to work either, because you don't have bikurim anymore, and the peros remind us of the bikurim, so you shouldn't eat peros either. So he said, you're right, efshar beperos acherim. You know, you only bring bikurim from Zayin Minim. So we can eat peros acherim, we can eat apples and oranges, it doesn't have to be pomegranates and zesim or whatever. So we know we could stay away from the Zayin Minim, from Zayin Minim. So he said, okay, but mayim lo nishta shekvar batal nisach hamayim. But then you shouldn't be able to drink water either, because there's no longer nisach hamayim. And every time you drink water, it's going to be reminiscent of the nisach hamayim. So shasku, that they didn't know how to respond to that, because obviously they're not going to be able to do without water. Amalan banai bo vamru lechem shlolis abel kalikar iafshar. Certainly, to not be mesabel at all, that would not be proper, because there was this gzeras churban, and because of the gzeras churban, we have to be mesabel. There's no doubt about that. Mesabel yosher midai iefshar, but you know, in moderation, to be mesabel more than people can handle is not a good idea. Shein goes gzeras al tzibur, and can rov tzibur chalamud ba, because you're not allowed to make a gzeras on a tzibur unless rov tzibur chalamud ba. D'chsiv b'meir atem ne'arim va'osi atem kovim hagoy kulo. And from that pasuk, we learn that the gezerah to bring the meiser to the Beis Ha'otzer was something that they had accepted upon themselves. That it has to be something that rov atzibur yichol nalamad ba. So what should you do? Elakach amru chachamim sarad mespesu b'sid. You can make your whole house with sid umeshayer bo davar muat. Leave out a davar muat. Leave out a little space that you don't make fully. V'kama, how much is a davar muat? Amrav Yosef ama al ama, one ama by one ama. Amrav Chista kineged apes. And that one amma by one amma should be across from the Pesach, from the doorway. You make all your tzarchi suda, make these lavish, wonderful meals, and leave out just a little bit. Maihi, what's a little bit? Amrapapa kasa daharsana, a certain dip that they used to have made with fish, leave that out of the meal. Osi isha koltach shita, meaning lavdafka, that, I think it means things, something like that, something small, like this fried fish type of dish that they used to have. Just leave out something from the meal. Osi isha koltach shita, umisheyeres davrumuat. A woman should get made up with all of her jewelry and all of her besamim and all of her perfumes and leave out a davrumuat. Maihi, what's the davrumuat? Amrav, bas tzida, a certain type of hair removal that they used to do on the temples. Shenemar, imishkachech yushlaim tish. That we're not supposed to forget Yerushalayim, and it should always be al rosh simchasi. My al rosh simchasi. What does it mean? It's supposed to be on the head of my simcha. So Rav Yitzchak zei for miklash b'rosh chasanim. That's the ashes that we put on the head of a chasan. That by a chasan you're supposed to, which is where the simcha gets the most elevated. So we're supposed to put ashes on the head of the chasan to remind ourselves that we have to moderate the level of simcha a little bit, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, that the Rabbanan saw that the Simcha was getting out of hand, so they took a glass vase, a crystal vase that was worth 400 zuz, and they smashed it, and it brought down the level of Simcha a little bit, because it shouldn't get out of hand. That's what some of the Achronim suggest. That's the basis of the Minag, of breaking the glass under the chuppah, to show that at the height of the simcha, right when we put the Efer Miklash B'Rosh Chasanim by the chuppah, right then at the height of the simcha, we bring it down a little bit by breaking a glass. Unclear that it really works with a light bulb or whatever it is that they put there in that napkin that's easy to break, but that's the minhag. The Rabbeinu Bechai writes in Katekemach, I think, that the breaking of the glass is a zecher to the Shivrei Luchos, but it could mean the same thing. So I think I mentioned in the Rosh's past Shabbos, that the idea of that story when they broke the glass was that it was a moment of, like, it was jarring to everybody to see, oh my gosh, why are they breaking something expensive? And it just caused everyone to pause for a minute. So the same thing, that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing with the Shivrei, with the breaking of the Luchos. He created a moment where it just, like, shocked everyone into the reality of look where we are, look what's happened to us. Tosus points out over here that Mayim Lo Nishta, and that was the one that they had no response to. And he said, you know what, you shouldn't drink any water. water. So I said, why didn't they have a response to that? Certain types of water are not kosher for nisach hamayim. They may boros is not kosher for nisach hamayim. Why couldn't they say so? We'll subsist on may boros. So Tosfos says, no, water would still be reminiscent of water. It wouldn't be good enough. And he says that's why yayin, they couldn't just respond, we'll have yayin mevushal, and yayin mevushal is puzzle for the mizbeach. No, yeah, but wine is still wine. So there's still that would still be a violation of the gzeira. Where do you put the sefer mikla? So b'makom tefillin, you put it in the place of the tefillin. That the pe'er is a reference to the tefillin, so the efer goes in the place where the pe'er is supposed to go. Ultimately, they'll see the simcha of Yerushalayim. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that in this gemara we say that we make a zecher l'chorban through from the pasuk of imeshkachich Yerushalayim tishkach. There's another Gemara that talks about all the Tekanos of Yochum and Zakkai of what they did as a Zecher Lemigdash, and it talks and quotes an entirely different pasuk that Tzion hi Dareshein La Mechlal Dabai Drisha, and we have all these Zecher Lemigdash that we learn from there. So he pointed out that there are two dinim. There's a Zecher to the way the Mikdash used to run in its glory, and there's a Zecher to the Churban, to the tragedy of the Churban. This Gemara is about a Zecher to the tragedy of the Churban. Tanya Amram Shoban Elisham Yom Shkar Beis Mikdash Dinush. Really, we should have made a gzera not to eat meat or drink any wine anymore. But we don't make a gzera on a tzibur unless people can handle such a gzera. But since we have so many gzeras against the Jewish people, where they don't let us learn Torah, they don't let us do mitzvos, they don't let us even go to have a bris milah, and some say that no, it's a pidyon ben that they don't let us do. Dinu shenigzal atzmenu shalali siisha laholibanim. We should make a self-imposed gzeira not to get married and not to have any children. Tosfos points out after you've already fulfilled pru revu, because then we're just making gzeira on ourselves not to do a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah pru revu. No, but at least after pru revu, not to go any further. V'nimtza zaru shalavar mavinu kalameelav, and then much of zaru shalavar mavinu will be destroyed on its own. Ella hanachlam lishol mutziv shushogin vali mezidin. But we're better off being shogin and not mezidim, so we don't make any such gezeros, because better people should violate b'shogin, no one's going to listen to anyway. What exactly the parameters of that rule are is an interesting discussion in the poskim. When do you say, don't tell the person? Ramesh was asked, should the rabbi not announce before tkiyah shofar that people aren't allowed to talk from then till the end, because people aren't going to listen anyway? Mutav shiyu shogin. Ramesh said, most people will listen. So some people won't listen, you're still allowed to say it for the most. Plus, he says, you're always allowed to teach a halacha. It's just a good... When it's bederech limud, when it's bederech teaching, it's bederech hochacha that you're not allowed to do it, to tell someone you're doing something wrong. But bederech limud, you're always allowed to do it. Okay, Adron Lacheskos, about the Mizrachim, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amol Cheres HaBayis.